their attacks are at all of us. That includes me, and that includes you, and other officials, and the country itself, government, and our systems, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a message that I wish Muslims generally would understand. It's not an attack on Muslim, a particular Muslim. It's not an attack on that version of Islam or this version of Islam. It's an attack on all of us as an ummah. I want to come back to you, Sheikh Ali, but Sayyid Mahdi, you're a person who reads the news. You're often looking at the updates and you're researching. So I'd like to ask you, what kind of propaganda are these predominantly Western entities spewing out?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, I mean, I don't pay that much attention to the news, but yeah, I go through the news. It's good for everybody to read the news, stay up to date on current events, make sure they know what's going on in the geopolitical, sociopolitical arena. It's an integral and critical part of being a human being, and especially it's something that is emphasized in Islam. Right, is that you should know what's going on, not just with the other Muslims across the world, but, you know, what's going on in the world in general. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, you know, it's good to read the news. Be careful what news you read, of course. Not all sources are trustworthy sources. Be careful where you're getting your news from. And definitely be careful of mass media and these guys
as
well.
But then when it comes to the elections particularly, what are the kinds of slogans?
Yeah, so when it comes to the elections, you will find that there has been a very severe attack on the personality of the president-elect, Sayyid Raisi, Ibrahim Raisi. And a lot of different things have come out about him. If you do, again, a little bit of research, you will find that a lot of it, if not all of it, is false. It is not just
like
propaganda,
kind of stuff,
it's lies. So again, right, so there's a lot of propaganda against the persona of Ibrahim Raisi. And, of course, the propaganda is there in order to, you know, make him look like a bad guy. Now, why do they want him to look like a bad guy? Because, interestingly, all of the achievements and accomplishments and the line that Sayyid Ibrahim Raisi has taken up to this point in his life is a revolutionary stance. It is the stance of the Islamic Revolution. It is a stance which follows the path of Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah. And also it is a stance that follows, of course, the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. And so because the enemies of Islam, enemies of humanity, the enemies of common sense, if you want to say, they have seen that this individual is walking the path of Imam Khamenei. He is walking the path of Imam Khomeini, and it is because of his walking on this path that they are coming up with these vicious lies against this individual.
Sheikh Ali, back to you.
So when you look at the president-elect Ayatollah Raisi, right, he won by a landslide victory, right? So this is like one of the things that gives us a few messages. One of the messages is that people, since the entire Iran at least, and of course the enemies, they know him. People know that he's revolutionary. He's committed to Islam. He's committed to the betterment of the people of this region, not only in Iran, while he has mostly to do, other than the foreign policy, he has to do with Iran, right? But they know that he's sincere, he's honest, he's been in judiciary where they have seen him deliver, right? Where they have seen him perform, where they have seen him make improvements, and also, like, you know, break many mafias that exist or existed in Iran. So now they're like, okay, he has won. What do we do about it, right? This is the voice of the people. The people elected him. The people voted for him. The people came out while there was coronavirus going on. You know, everybody is, even the elderly, you know, since they're more vulnerable, they saw it to be their responsibility to come out and decide their own fate by electing Sayyid Raisi. Now the enemy is baffled. They're like, okay, it's people's choice, people's voice. People of Iran has elected him, and he has won by landslide, right? So it's not like you can say, oh, it was like, you know, just 1,000 votes away from, you know, the other guy, you know, who is subservient to the West.
As often is the case in other countries.
So now they're like, okay, what do we do? This is where the propaganda comes in. Remember, Sayyid Raisi has a lot of enemies, right? not only the West, even internally, if you look at, let's assume that you are a judge,
mm-hmm.
and you end up breaking these mafias who are corrupt, right? And they're running their show, they're just stealing money and looting the wealth of the country, and you, being that chief justice, right, you decide against them, right? You penalize them, you throw them in jails, for instance.
You're
right?
going to create lots of enemies.
In other words, you implement justice, right? Implementing justice, we know from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
That's what it reminded me of as well. Yeah.
You implement justice, you're going to make enemies. This is what he's facing. He has all those big mafias and all those big, huge, resourceful cults that don't like him.
Mm.
So, of course, you're going to have this propaganda, right?
Right.
On one hand, we have West, who are doing it for the ideological reasons, right? They want to show that the Islamic Republic is, you know, a hoax, you know, people don't support the system.
I mean, Sheikh Ali, let's be honest. They do this every time, don't they?
In terms of Iran, yes. They do it all the time. This is something that has been high on their agenda. And I would say, like, in some sense, they've been successful mm-hmm. because our media is weak. Because mm-hmm. we're not reaching out to people. They don't know the facts. People don't know Farsi. Mm. People don't know Persian. When they go out to read news, like Sayyid, right, where do they go? Alhamdulillah, he knows Farsi, so he can compare and contrast. But average people around the world, all they have is like BBC, Fox, and CNN, and Voice of America, which are nothing but propaganda. Right?
Nothing
even
but
their underlying messages, even their subtle messages, you know, the choice of words that they have,
right.
It's all, you know, you can see if you're a bit smart, you can see how they're trying to fool the masses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sayyid Raisi is the popular president that Iran has now. And the best thing is the population of Iran is not only expecting results from him, they're also supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it is like, you know, you sit on the sidelines and you sit on the fence and you go like, well, you're the president now, just deliver. You know, we're just sitting here watching and waiting. No, Iranians are different. This nation is different. They are ready to support Sayyid Raisi in every way possible.
And
right?
help him. Like,
and yeah. One of the examples of that would be, you know how the leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he keeps saying that we need economy of resistance, right?
Right.
We need to
mm-hmm.
grow this internal growth of businesses mm-hmm. and factories and stuff.
Right.
People are ready to invest. Provided they're given the right platform and opportunity, which Sayyid Raisi is, inshallah, going
to
provide.
Right.
People are
inshallah.
Ready to invest in businesses, in local businesses, in domestic capabilities, and using those capabilities to grow
self-reliance
the Islamic system.
And not depending on other countries, especially the Western powers.
If you look at another strength that Sayyid Raisi has is, after he won the elections, you look at, and the leader has brought up this point, you look at America, what happened? Trump lost, and then what happened? It was a fiasco, right? It was a chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You saw like all the protests that took place and so on and so forth, right? Just this recent episode, we can go in the history and dissect it too, but just take this recent episode. In Iran, you know what transpired, which the media does not put forth, is that the previous president, Rouhani, he congratulated Sayyid Raisi. They sat down, they had meetings. After his party has lost at the hands of Sayyid Raisi, they sit down, they discuss the future of the country. Where have you seen this happen?
And
normally, if one party wins, the other party is like, you know, protesting, and they're saying, oh, the elections are,
this,
you know,
this idea
rigged
of working together, this united front, it's a beautiful thing. I want to discuss it more, inshallah, perhaps in future episodes. For now, we've run out of time. We hope that you benefited from the show, inshallah, from myself, from Sayyid Mahdi, and from Sheikh Ali. We bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye.
A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. so blessed out here today. Yeah, Allah.
Chef Jaffa González Bornet. Spain fell under the control of the Roman Empire in 206 BCE when it was named Hispania. Christianity remained the official religion of the country for a long time, but it gradually lost its position there over time, while no other religion replaced it. Located in the southwest of Europe, Spain shares borders with Portugal and France and is home to the world's two famous football clubs, Real Madrid and Barcelona. Raúl González, a favorite Spanish name and also the name of a former Real Madrid striker, Raúl González is also the name of a man we want to tell the story of. His full name is Raúl González Bornet. He is not a celebrity, but has a strange story. He has chosen Shia Islam as his religion after doing a lot of study and research. His valuable essays about the sixth Shia Imam are regarded as a turning point in his life and have been greatly welcomed, mainly by the followers of the Prophet Muhammad and his household. The essays are so popular that they have made some people call him Sheikh Ja'far Raúl González. Sheikh Ja'far was born in the Spanish capital, Madrid, in 1950 and grew up in a communist family. In 1968, he began a three-year course on electronic engineering. He was later arrested over his anti-fascist activities, and following that, he took refuge in a mountainous area near Madrid. There, he lived in a mean cottage, a place he chose to deal with his personal concerns and search for the truth. He studied religions. Sheikh Ja'far was attracted to Shia Islam after he read a book entitled The Brother of Prophet, written by U.S.-based Lebanese researcher and scholar Javad Shiri. Sheikh Ja'far then traveled to Iran, where he began to study at the Al-Mustafa International University in the holy city of Qom. He got a PhD in Quranic studies from that academic and seminary institute. Sheikh Ja'far is now doing research on religions and translates Islamic texts. Sheikh Ja'far's return from Iran coincided with the 9/11 attacks that resulted in organized Islamophobic moves by European media, including those in Spain. Such moves began at a time when the situation of Muslims in Europe was not satisfactory, something ongoing before the 9/11 attacks. That prompted Sheikh Ja'far and some of his Shia friends, who were mostly from Iraq and Lebanon, to begin working against the anti-Muslim campaign in Spain. To that end, they formed an NGO called Muslims Seek Peace. With the media in Spain and other European countries providing extensive coverage of events, it may seem difficult to raise the public attention on certain issues only through an NGO that has limited capabilities compared with those powerful and well-equipped media outlets. However, Sheikh Ja'far and his friends made that possible by their relentless efforts and accomplished what they sought. As part of their efforts to change the public opinion about Muslims, they held ceremonies to mark religious events such as celebrations for Islamic festivities. Other measures included articles that were printed and distributed during some of these ceremonies. The articles covered various issues, including ideological ones, and most of the time led to question-answer meetings. In addition, films mostly featuring Israeli crimes against Palestinians were shown. Many have also been attracted to sessions about the Holy Quran and interpreting its verses. Hospitality is one of the characteristics of the Spanish people that distinguishes them from other Europeans. It is interesting to know that Spanish culture is a mixture of Christian, Islamic, and European African culture, and that is due to several hundreds of years of Muslim ruling over the country, a government known as Andalusia. This parking lot, located in the south of Madrid's palace, was formerly a key Muslim gravesite that, along with other Islamic structures, was destroyed after the fall of Muslims in Spain. The country is regarded as one of the main gateways of Islam's arrival in Western Europe. Maybe that is the reason behind European Union laws that indirectly back being tough with Muslims in order to prevent another power rise by them in Spain. Muslims ruled Spain for almost 781 years after they conquered Andalusia in 711 AD. During these years, Spain witnessed significant progress and was at the top compared with its neighbors in terms of civilization, culture, and urbanization. People in Spain greatly welcomed Islam. As a result, new buildings were gradually constructed around this palace and they were expanded further. Rulers holding small territories in Western Europe never managed to militarily defeat Muslims. But over time, with changes in the lifestyle of Muslims, their diligence was replaced with growing negligence and wantonness, and their years-long empire was defeated in 1492. After the fall of Muslims in 1492, Spain went through many crises to attain a high position among the world countries. Nonetheless, many experts believe that the country saw its prosperity during the Muslim rule and that it was not comparable with today's Spain. In order to prove that opinion is wrong and to reject it, different governments implemented political and economic theories presented by experts. But their attempts caused new problems, some of which still exist, and neoliberalism seems to be the latest effort to break an economic dead end. Spain has the highest unemployment rate in the European Union after Greece. That means one in every four people is jobless in Spain. The country is also facing a growing number of homeless people. Sheikh Jafar believes that faults currently existing in the economic system of Spain and even other European countries are covered up by a media propaganda campaign, and few people are aware of the real statistics.
In most European countries, protests and crises led to the formation of political parties that expanded without gaining credibility and gradually lost people's trust. But in Spain, people under the slogan of We Can, which in Spanish means Podemos, formed a party that got a high position, which was even unexpected for the then politicians. Although politicians thought that people's support for the party was not deep and they would act traditionally in elections, it turned into the third strongest party in Spain's politics. Podemos, which is now one of the key political parties in Spain, is trying to have a strong and effective presence in mayoral elections. Therefore, the party has asked its headquarters in different parts of Spain to quickly introduce their representatives to the main office. Sheikh Jaffa represents Muslims in a meeting by the party's regional branch in southern Madrid. The presence of Sheikh Jaafar in such meetings is mainly aimed at doing research about political developments in Spain and the progress of the Podemos party. Therefore, his refusal to accept an offer by the Muslim members of the party to run as a candidate in the mayoral elections has two reasons. One is that he is too busy, and the second is that he does not know the party well. Development plans, austerity measures, and thousands of political and economic plans. But whether we like it or not, what Europe does not have today is spirituality. Leaders of big movements like Podemos have been born and raised in the West, and they have to obey Western systems. Even if their criticism of the ruling system is welcomed by the people and draws their attention for a limited period of time, at the end of the day, their ignorance of spiritual values results in what colonial politicians want. Such consequences gradually demotivate people and discourage them from taking any further action, and people, satisfied with their current lives, deal with their normal affairs. Less Muslims live in Spain than other European countries, something that has created different conditions there. That is the biggest problem Sheikh Jaafar has been dealing with over the past years. The number of Muslims living in other European countries is big enough that any gathering by them is at least acceptable to them. But in Spain, not only the number of Muslims is very low, but also the mistrust of other communities has isolated them, and this makes it difficult for Sheikh Jaafar to carry on his activities. Communicating with young people living in different parts of Spain through social media is one of the important tasks that Sheikh Jaafar performs. He tries to make the youth interested in Islam through writing Islamic texts, such as verses of the Holy Quran and words of the Prophet Muhammad's household. He also sends them Spanish-translated Islamic books, and by doing so, Sheikh Jaafar plays a key role in expanding Islam. He is very hopeful that the youth find the true path, despite all the challenges and problems that exist.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Thumma arsalna Musa.
Then we sent Moses and his brother Aaron with our signs and a clear authority. To Pharaoh and his establishment, but they were arrogant and were a haughty people.
Dear listeners, we are now going to talk about the story of Prophet Moses in this chapter. The 45th and 46th verse start talking about the story of this prophet. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى وَأَخَاهُ هَارُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Then we sent Moses and his brother Aaron with our signs and a manifest authority. إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا عَالِينَ. Unto Pharaoh and his chiefs, but they behaved insolently, and they were an arrogant people. So at first, the 45th verse starts saying, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. We sent Moses and his brother Aaron with our signs and manifest authority. سُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. The Arabic word sultan is a synonym for evidence, because someone can often dominate people's hearts with logic, reasoning, and rational and practical argument. And this is what the Almighty Allah had taught Prophet Moses. And accompanied by his brother, they went to Pharaoh. Up until now, the subject was the nations that arose and disappeared before the time of Moses alayhi salam. But the Holy Quran is trying to briefly refer to the uprising of Moses and Aaron themselves against the pharaonic system and the destiny of this conceited nation. So the Quran says, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. The objective of the Quranic word ayat, signs in this verse, probably is the book of Torah and the miracles that the Almighty Allah had bestowed upon Moses, son of Imran. And the objective of the Arabic phrase Sultani Mubin, as we said, is the strong logical argument Moses presented and the powerful reasons he gave against the claim of those people. From this verse, we can infer that sometimes inviting the people to the religion of Allah needs to be done in a group. Moses was not alone in this, and he needed the help of his brother in this journey. Also, if we are to stand against really obstinate people, the system that really needs argument, we need to dominate them with logic, reasoning, and logical argument. And this is exactly what happened in this case.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
in this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
In the next verse, the Quran implies that Allah sent Moses and his brother Aaron to Pharaoh and his aristocrat and proud elites, supported by these signs and manifest authority. The verse says, إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ, unto Pharaoh and his chiefs, فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا عَلِينَ, but they behaved insolently. Now, this verse indicates the fact that the root of all corruption was found with them, and no nation could be reformed unless its elites and authorities change and reform. Because it says, فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ. So the people who covered and gathered around Pharaoh, and who influenced him a lot, had such power that they tried to deny him, and they tried to convince the people to do as well. And Moses and his brother knew that without referring to the authorities, without having reform and change in the authorities, people are rarely being changed. So in order to remove and wipe corruption from the surface of the society, first, you have to refer to those who are authorities, who are influencing on the people. Anyway, despite the compelling arguments and impressive miracles of Moses, Pharaoh and his companions became conceited, did not accept Allah's signs, and the manifest authority was also negated by them, and they continued to oppress the people. The verse concludes saying, وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا عَالِينَ. They were arrogant people, and this arrogance caused them to deny another prophet of the universe. And the rest of the story remains for the next verses. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be looking at the necessity of prophethood, the necessity of the divine revelation, and we want to address why is it that it is necessary for God to send divine revelations to human beings. If you remember, in some of our previous sessions, we examined this necessity from the point of view that human beings, in order for them to achieve felicity and happiness in this world and in the hereafter, they have to have a knowledge of their Creator. And we said that human beings, without the assistance of divine revelation, when they're left on their own, it's impossible for them to acquire this knowledge. Rather, they have to be assisted by God. God has to introduce them himself to us through divine revelation. He has to tell us who he is, his attributes, what he is, what are his attributes, what kind of being he is, in order for us to acquire this knowledge. Left on our own, we cannot acquire this knowledge. And we said that a testament to this is all of the the cases where human beings were misguided in their efforts to understand God. Maybe many human beings made a sincere effort to learn about their Creator, but how many of them were misguided from the truth? Some of them came to believe in polytheism. Some of them came to believe in pantheism. And some of them came to believe in other incorrect notions about God. This shows us that left on their own, human beings cannot acquire this knowledge, which is necessary for their felicity. We said that an objection might be raised here, and that objection is this, that we see that in history, a lot of people did arrive at a proper understanding of God and their Creator without the assistance of divine revelation. A primary example of this is the sages, the Greek sages, the divine philosophers, right, who came to believe in God and believe came to believe in a lot of the in many of the ideas that the prophets spoke about without their assistance. So there's no need for prophethood. Human beings, when left on their own, they can arrive at this at these conclusions by themselves. One way that we can answer this objection is this, that we can say that it's true that these sages, they were monotheists. They believed in God. They were monotheists. And this is something that is true. I mean, divine revelation affirms this. But a lot of the things that they believed in were contrary to what? Contrary to the truth and contrary to what a divine revelation speaks about. A testament to this is the differences of opinions amongst these philosophers themselves. It's true that Aristotle believed in God. He was apparently a monotheist. Same thing goes with Plato. But how many differences of opinions did they have amongst themselves? For example, Plato believed in the eternity of the human spirit. He believed that the human spirit existed before the body was created. Aristotle believed that no, the human spirit is generated with the generation and creation of the body. This is a difference of opinion here between these two, and only one of them can be correct. Obviously, why? Because they contradict one another, right? So we can't say that from all points of view, right, all of these philosophers arrived at the same conclusions that the divine revelations speak about. They believed in the same thing that the divine revelations speak about. Yes, in certain general matters, right, they arrived at certain correct conclusions, right, on their own without the assistance of divine revelation. But that amount is not sufficient for the procurement of that felicity and happiness that is necessary for the human being. So there is still a need for the assistance of divine revelation. Thank you for joining us here. Today we were speaking about the necessity of the divine revelation and prophethood. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, from your program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you from IRIB English Radio. Joining us again in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from the Islamic Seminary of Qom. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for always joining us. Dear Sheikh, our question today is maybe an existential one, because this question is not only asked by Muslims, it is asked by everyone who's maybe critical of there being a creator. And the question is as follows: why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God, who is all merciful, kind, allow bad things to happen? isn't this contradictory to Allah being all-merciful and kind and loving?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This question is famous as the problem of evil, and as you rightly mentioned, almost all the religions, and not only the religions, different schools of thought, different schools of philosophy, they have addressed this question, and they have brought their answers to these questions, to this question, I mean, the problem of evil. And it is so important that some believe, I mean, some philosophers who are atheists, they have resorted to it to reject the existence of God. And some believe that this is the most important argument for, I mean, negating the existence of God.
For atheism, basically.
Yeah, atheism. Now, one point that I would like to put emphasis before answering this question is that when it comes to such questions, we should not only focus on one answer and negate the other answers. When we refer to the verses of the Quran and narrations, we see that maybe at least, as far as I've searched, about 8 or even 10 answers to this question.
So the multiple answers.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, each answer answers one dimension of this question. So, you know, the problem is that, let me give you, one example. There are some narrations which talk about the fact that if people commit this sin, then there would be earthquake, okay?
For example.
So, yeah, for example. So, as soon as earthquake happens in a city, you see some people say that, okay, this is because of the fact that they have committed that sin. This is not the case. I mean, we need to take into account and into consideration all the narrations that we have, like the fact that when it comes to the verses of the Noble Book of Quran, some people refer to some verses to say that there is no free will. It is absolutely predestination. Yeah, right. Mm. Some people refer to other verses to talk to, come to the concept of tafwid as preached by Mufawwid, and so on and so forth. My point is that regarding such questions, we need to, study all the verses and all the narrations to have a comprehensive answer to this question. So some people may say that the bad events are for your sins. This is only one of the answers.
It is one aspect, and in reality, there are multiple aspects here. Actually.
So we cannot give this answer as the only answer to the problem of evil. I mean, this will give a very bad impression to some of the righteous human beings who may not commit, sin on a daily basis, and so on and so forth.
And bad things happen to them.
And they have bad things.
You mentioned some time ago, if you remember, when we told, when I read a verse from the Prophet who said, I am the one who is most afflicted.
Exactly.
And he's the one closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So it doesn't make sense here.
At all. So we need to, as I mentioned, my first point is that we need to pay attention to all the answers given by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, and before that in the verses of the Quran. Now, inshallah, I will try my best to refer to all these answers one by one. The first one is that some of the problems and difficulties, they are the requirements of this material and natural life. Let me give you an example. We know that fire gives us heat, and it is very helpful for the life of the human beings. And during the summer, we take benefit from fire, for example. It gives us heat. But the same fire...
During the winter, you mean?
During the winter, sorry, yeah. So the same fire which burns the wood, for example, and it gives us heat...
Or even cooks food for us.
Yeah. The same fire can burn down a house, for example.
Can also be harmful.
So... Can we expect fire that please give us the heat and do not, burn the wood to give us heat, but do not burn down that house, for example? This is not possible.
It's nature. This cannot do
exactly.
That.
This is the nature of the fire. So some of the problems that we have, it is, as I mentioned, the requirement of living in this material world in which we have the concept and the principle of cause and effect. Whenever we have cause, then there would be the effect as well.
That's the whole logic
exactly.
of all existence, actually.
The other example is, taking benefit from cars. We know that car is very helpful. Can we, exclude cars from our society? Nowadays, it's not possible.
It's impossible.
It gives us a kind of,
makes everything more accessible and easier.
That's the point. At the same time, human beings move. Can we take movement away from the human beings? Not at all. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can move. Now, a man is moving in the street, a car is also moving, and then accident happens. Can we say that it is, the problem of evil? This is the nature of the car to go and the nature of the man to move, and if they come in front of each other, then the accident will happen. So the point is that the first answer is that for some problems that we face in this life, it is because of the fact that we are living in this material life. We are, we need to act based on the principle of cause and effect. So there is no, escape from such problems.
Natural consequences.
Exactly.
Just like sticking your hand in open fire or in a fire.
Exactly. That's the point.
It's not evil. You just happened. You did it yourself either by accident. You didn't think about it. It's just a natural consequence of fire being fire.
True. And the other example is when we have handicapped children, for example, some people begin to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the same question, why we need to suffer a lot. Again, one of the answers is that for some cases, this is the result of the genes of the father and the mother. And they didn't do all those required,
they didn't sin. They weren't bad people, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, before marriage, they needed to go through some medical examinations. Had they done that, they knew that it may lead to having such a children, such a child.
It's genetics and DNA. It has nothing to do with evil or
exactly.
Allah.
Exactly. This is the nature. So we cannot put the blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They needed to, do all these medical examinations and could...
For example, to solve or
exactly.
prevent this.
Again, I don't want to say that this is the only answer for the handicapped, having handicapped
children. There are multiple
answers. This is one of the answers. The second one is that some of the evils, some of the problems are the consequence and the result of free will of the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given human beings the blessings of free will and free choice. So we're not going to talk about the philosophy of that. We know that some people, they are pro predestination. Some people are pro absolute freedom and free will. According to the Shia school of thought, we believe in al-amru bayn al-amrayn, something in between. We have
exactly.
free will because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the free will. So does having free will, free will something good for human beings? I believe that all the human beings, they agree that we need to be and we like to be free. We do not want to be forced.
So our nature, all these, you've seen the word for freedom, demonstrations and wars and
yeah.
all kinds of conflicts
yeah.
for freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So people, love it. The people love to have free choice. People need to have free will so that, they can see if they are following the good things or bad things, if they're doing good actions or bad actions. If they are forced, then there is no value for that.
There's no good and bad anymore. You're forced to do this and forced to do that. What's
exactly.
the meaning of being tested here
and
in this world?
There is no meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving reward and punishing.
Everything collapses.
So if we believe in the fact that having free will is something good, it means that we need to accept the consequences of it. So if we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to force people to be good, it means that people with their free will can do and commit many sins. And some of these sins are very, heinous actions. Killing, murdering, injuring other people. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not preventing these people? Because of the fact that all people believe that this principle is something good, the fact that people need to be free. So, of course, there are some exceptions in some cases which are exceptional. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help the people and will prevent the oppressors. But the sunnah, the tradition, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running the world is that people are free to act upon their free will. So, as I mentioned, one of the consequences of this is that people may do some crimes, some
horrible actions,
which will bring about difficulties for other people. But the point is that, inshallah, I will mention that this is one of the other answers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up for the oppressed people. There are some narrations which tell us that if the believers knew how great is the reward for going through difficulties in this world, on the day of judgment when they see the rewards, they wish that they would have been cut into pieces by Caesars.
To that degree.
To that degree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it up. So Allah
is just, of course.
Yeah. And he will punish those oppressors. But the point is that if we believe in the fact that having free will is good, which is believed by almost all the human beings, then we need to accept the consequences and the result. We cannot, prevent people from taking benefit and using their free choice. And many problems are the result of bad choice of wicked people and the oppressors.
But stemming from free will, it's not forced upon someone by Allah, for
example. That's true. The next point, which is, I believe, the third answer, is that the problems and difficulties, they give meaning to life. According to some scholars, without difficulties and problems, there is no growth. Let me give you just one example. If there was no problem, we did not have all these, invention and technologies that today we have access to, and through them we have a much better life.
So we'd never advance and develop.
Exactly.
Stuff.
So people went through difficulties without electricity. It was then invented, and all these technologies that we have. So one of the philosophies of having all these problems and difficulties is that it will help to the growth and advancement of the human beings and the technology.
Because naturally, problems lead to problem solving.
Exactly. And
that's exactly what we've done.
Very good point, yeah. But there are, I think, 4 to 5 answers that we need to follow in the next session.
Dear Sheikh, our time is unfortunately up for this program. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio, as always. This has been your host, Musa Al-Bahadali, from your program, Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting to you from IRRB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن الله 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 الله
إن چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند این ذکر خداست ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of Spring truth.
Allahu ya Allah.
invite you to listen to a short part of the book Sirr al-Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. The sincerity is in fact the purification from the absolute mixing of non-God, and in related with the God's friends, it is its purification of fermentation.